What's in the box? Come on. What's in the box?
Aren't you so glad he killed Kevin Spacey?
Looking back now, that has aged very well.
Yeah.
It was so convincing by Brad Pitt because he caught Kevin Spacey harassing some intern in the back.
Morgan Freeman, probably. Leave Red alone. He's a kindly old man. We decided to record today because one of the things that keeps me and Clint in contact as we both get crazy busy is that I can guarantee that at least every month or so, I'm going to get a random text or he'll get one from me. And it's not, hi, how you doing? It's always, did you watch this?
Yeah.
Or if we're really bored, hey, got any suggestions?
Yeah.
And since we're friends, I don't feel like I'm being used.
No.
And it goes back and forth.
Right.
But that's what movies have played a big part of our life.
We are purveyors of premium content.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
We really are.
Absolutely.
We worked at Blockbuster together when we were 17. Real quick, how did you get that job there?
I just applied.
We never talked about that. I just applied?
I went in and filled an application and shook hands with Dave, the manager.
Right.
And then, and you know how you are.
No friends, though.
No.
Because maybe Josh Taylor got me the job there.
Yeah.
Was he already there?
He was already there.
Okay. So did he, but he didn't recommend.
So I guess that would make the fact that I got a job there more impressive than the fact that you got a job there.
Well, yeah.
Because I didn't know anyone. I've
never done anything on my own.
I had a zero network.
I had hardcore network.
You were like George W. Bush, like riding on your father's coattails.
Oh, I had a childhood friend who had a job at the Blockbuster.
You're in.
You want to talk about privilege.
Yeah.
That's privilege, dude. And I took it
and
ran with it. So, we have a great love for movies, and I can honestly say that I don't think either of us have a genre really, right?
No,
do
man.
Do you?
No, I love them all.
I have a hard time talking to people because I feel like most people are boxed into a genre, and I like everything. I even like watching bad stuff. I enjoy watching.
Well, yeah, one of my favorite things to talk to you about is the fact that you love Secret Window so much. Like movie sucks.
The quote that will be attributed to me is a lie. And I will.
What, you said this is the greatest movie of all time?
I never said that. That portion is a complete fabrication. It's a complete fabrication.
But then on the other hand, though, on the other hand, so this just shows the spectrum that we share is when we rented The Story of Us with Bruce Willis and Michelle Pfeiffer. You go from Secret Window, The Story of Us, and then we rented that on Cameron Gordon's account. It was never turned in. It was lost. Cameron came back from his mission and had a $1,500 collection on his credit.
That much? I thought it was only a few hundred.
No, dude, it was a lot. It was like over $1,000. And he's like, hey, you guys never returned that movie? And we were kind of, there was a moment of shame. He's like, you rented The Story of Us? It's not like we're like going on a date. We had some ladies over to watch movies with us or something. I don't remember, dude. I swear we watched it by ourselves.
I think we might have.
Like, Bruce Willis is awesome.
We tried watching Titus by ourselves. I don't even think we got very far.
Yeah, that was a weird movie, man.
Very weird.
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Let's just say we had dates. Let's go with that story. I'm not completely confident.
Even though Dano probably like kicked him out of the house
for wearing 311 shirts.
Anyway.
If someone walks in your house wearing a 311 shirt, that's what you do.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Get the freak out of my house.
Yeah. I like everything. Even if it's bad, it's valuable. It's like, well, it's going to help something else be better. So anyway,
somebody greenlit that movie and someone was like, yeah, I'll give you $5 million to $20 million. Dollars.
That crap is fascinating.
You know, me and my wife were having this discussion the other day, how one that baffles me is, because usually all they do is hit home runs. The Good Dinosaur.
Like The Good Dinosaur?
No, I wish I could have sat. Yeah. I wish I could have sat in the pitch room and they're like, hey, listen, we're going to make a movie about dinosaurs, but it's going to be a Western. And the human people aren't going to talk at all, but the dinosaurs are. But then they're going to have like cowboy accents.
Wait, they have cowboy accents?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
The Good Dinosaur?
In The Good Dinosaur, yeah. It's like a Western that doesn't take place in the West. You got to rewatch it. It makes no sense.
I just know my kids freaking love it.
Well.
Do your kids not like it?
They put it in, and me and Summer always roll our eyes whenever they put that in. Yeah, we're like, oh, this is so terrible.
I like it because it makes my kids realize that I might just die at any moment, like the dad.
Yeah.
I feel like after they watch it, they appreciate me a little more.
Right.
You know
what I
mean?
Best Pixar movie, in your opinion. Go.
Jeez, dude, you can't just do that.
I just did.
I watch a lot of animated, so sometimes I get mixed up. Best Pixar. Give me a couple. I should have one.
Yeah. Wall-E?
Yeah.
Up?
Okay.
Toy Story?
Right off the bat, I'm going to say I love Up.
I do too.
I failed to watch the first 5 minutes yet without
tearing
my eyes getting misty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible, dude. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it. It must be something in the water. Every time I come here, it gets harder to come back. Wait, it gets harder to leave? Shooter McGavin. Shooter. Shooter. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I slaughtered that quote. Oh, Pixar. Yeah, I'm just going to go with Up without looking at it. My kids love Brave.
That's incredible that we share that because that's my favorite as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even think I need to think much further because I did love, I really liked The Incredibles too, but yeah, nowhere near Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, Up's my favorite. Okay, can I give you a recommendation? It's DreamWorks.
Okay.
Rise of the Guardians.
Yeah. My kids love Rise of the Guardians.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's good.
Have you seen it?
I mean, if I was going to go with non-Disney animated stuff, it wouldn't be my top.
Dude, but that movie
it's good, though.
That is the best iteration of Santa Claus. Live action, animated, commercial, anywhere.
Which is crazy because it all goes back to the fact that it's voiced by Alec Baldwin, who played Jack Ryan.
There you go. Well played. Good segue. Okay, this will move us on to Jack Ryan finally. But yeah, dude, he's fantastic. And I love the whole scene where he explains like what his thing is. You know what I mean?
My biggest nitpick with that whole show is that you have all these, you know, creatures that are in charge of holidays.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like Jack Frost qualifies as that.
Well, that's the point, though. Don't you get that?
No.
Okay, you got to rewatch the movie then. That's the whole point of it. I'm not giving anything away to anybody. Is that
spoiler alert on Rise of the Guardians? It's been out for 10 years.
If someone hasn't seen it, they're not going to get. It's not going to get spoiled. So I don't want it to be spoiled for them.
The kids saw dead people, and Bruce Willis was really dead.
Everybody spoiled that one for everybody, but that's the whole point. Is that he doesn't view himself as a guardian, and they don't either. That's the crux of the movie. You haven't properly watched it. You got to rewatch it. You need to sit down and actually rewatch it because that's the point. He's not truly a guardian and the movie's about him becoming one. So they had to pick a character
right. That
was purposely not like Santa, right. Easter Bunny, something like that. So if you view it from that angle, you'll appreciate it more.
Worst movie ever made, in your opinion?
The worst single movie ever made? Dude, I'd have to think about it. That's a tall order because some of the worst ones become some of your fit. Like I hated Heavyweights. As a kid,
but it's aged beautifully because of Ben Stiller.
Yeah. What does he say when he like throws that log?
I can't remember.
I don't know. I just know it's funny. He says something like, get out of my way, log. And then he picks it up and throws it off the trail. And actually just like poorly done crap movie. I don't know. What do you have one?
I have one I always keep in my back pocket that I compare everything to.
Okay.
It was made in like the early 80s. It was called Amazing Grace and Chuck.
Amazing Grace. Is it as bad as Taxi with Jimmy Fallon?
That one's pretty bad too. But it's about this kid. It's like look it up on IMDb.
I'm looking it up right now.
And read the synopsis and just understand that they made like someone greenlit this and invested, you know, probably like $3 million back then.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, this is going to be a great movie. It's not an action movie. It's a drama.
I'm sorry. I just started reading.
Yeah, dude. Did I ever talk to you about this when we worked at Blockbuster?
No. Oh.
And
I've
you've
never
got
heard
an,
of this.
And you've got an NBA player cameo in it. Go ahead and read the synopsis.
Do you know what the synopsis is? A little league player. I can't even do it without reading or without laughing.
This is no, but you have to understand when you watch the movie, it is a drama. Like, this is like,
it's legit drama.
It's a legit drama that they're like really serious about trying to talk about nuclear proliferation. Go ahead.
Hold on. So first off, let me just set this up here. The cover is black and white and it's got a rainbow. It's actually a cool cover.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, Jim Allen, Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Auerbach.
Yeah.
Any other names in this we'd know? Yeah. Like for the time, it's got.
What year was it made?
87.
Oh, yeah.
Directed by Mike Newell. What else did he direct? Wait, he directed Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire? Four Weddings and a Funeral, which that one.
Yeah, that was like nominated for Best Picture.
Donnie Brasco.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, dude, you're really pushing 10?
Best air traffic control movie ever made.
I liked Pushing 10.
Yeah.
Didn't blow my mind, but it's a good Kevin Costner flick.
It wasn't Kevin Costner.
Who's in Pushing 10?
John Cusack and Billy Bob Thornton.
I'm thinking of the right movie, but I...
About the air traffic controllers. Yeah. Kevin Costner would have been great in it. Probably would have been better. Then they could have like been on like a softball team part-time.
What's the golf one with Kevin Costner?
Tin Cup?
Tin Cup. Maybe that's why. Ooh. My mind like... I had the right movie, but I had the wrong actor.
It's okay. That's why I'm here.
When you work at Blockbuster is you start going, Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing Grace and Chuck.
So here we go. Amazing Grace and... Yeah. It's a drama sports film. 1987, a little league player named Chuck refuses to ever pitch again until nuclear weapons are disarmed. What?
Yeah.
Again, let's do that one more time. A little league player named Chuck refuses to ever pitch again until nuclear weapons are disarmed. Basketball star Amazing Grace Smith follows the boy's example. That's what they chose to name the fake basketball character.
Yeah.
Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Smith follows the boy's example and starts a trend. Wow. Wow.
Does it have a Rotten Tomatoes rating there?
I'm guessing IMDb does not include that, but
it's okay.
Wow.
Okay. Terrible movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I mean, I feel like and you've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I rented that with my dad, like seriously, like when I was around 1989, you know, and we started watching it because we were Boston Celtic fans and he just ended up thinking it was so hilarious. Like, this is the worst movie I've ever seen. And anyway, and we always would joke about it from now on. Like, hey, what did you go see this weekend? Was it something good or was it Amazing Grace and Chuck?
Seriously, I almost want to say that I've heard you say that now that I think about it. But I've never.
I know, like, I brought it up to you sometime in the last 20 years, dude.
It had. I think you may have.
Well, here, this is a little homework assignment for you.
Well, yeah, I'll check it out.
Maybe you can stream it on Netflix.
It is a cool cover.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I know.
I like the artwork on it.
Anyway, worst movie ever made, probably for me.
I'll just go with Taxi, since I already said that. Yeah. It's pretty bad, dude.
I know.
I would say the only redeeming like portion of the whole thing is his relationship with his mom. I found amusing. How she lives next door to him and he takes Queen Latifah there.
Is it weird that I don't remember any Queen Latifah songs? Because wasn't she like a musical artist before she was an actress?
So you don't get rough and stuff with your Afro puffs?
Apparently not.
That's the only thing I can think of. I get rough and stuff with my Afro puffs. Wow. I hope that's her, or else that's really bad if the only song we know isn't her song. That could be Missy Elliott. Let's flip it and reverse it. There we go. So Jack Ryan's out on Amazon. Any thoughts before watching it? Any thoughts on the idea of Amazon making?
Yeah, I was really excited about it. Because, I mean, you know, one thing that's really cool about how content's changing, you know, and we've got more avenues is you got all these studios that have just grundles of money to burn.
Silly money.
Yeah. And just watching what they pick and choose and stuff and like put out. It's amazing.
I feel like they're letting people run with stuff.
Yes.
Because they have the money to burn and they don't know what they're doing. The big studios, like, they know, hey, I need a film that's roughly like this released on this date because what makes money.
Yeah, because they got 100 years doing it, you know? And so these new studios, you know, I think I listened to a podcast the other day with Jason Bateman getting interviewed about Ozark.
Okay.
You know, and he's like, yeah, it was really cool. I was going to the pitch meeting and I'm like, here's what I kind of want to do. And they're like, sweet, man. Yeah, done. He's like, well, that was it. Yeah, go get them. Here you go. Here's a check.
You're the real one from Arrested Development, right? Well, yeah, that's me. Okay, yeah, we don't know anything about this. We have money,
though.
Here you
go. Do it.
Yeah.
I love Dodgeball.
He directed that, right?
No, no, he was just he was in the cameo where he was the color commentator for the for ESPN, the Ocho.
That's right.
Yeah, dude, that was like his.
He has directed.
He's directed
at least a few films, right?
So, yeah.
Is he directing Ozark or is he in it?
He directed a couple of episodes, but then he's also the star. I think it's just cool. I think it's awesome, and I you know, it allows, like, we've got way too many choices, but in a way it's a good thing because it allows us to have conversations like we do. Like at, you know, 11:30 at night, I'll text you and be like, dude, did you watch Black Mirror? And you know, and or you'll be like, dude, like I was talking to Tally, Scissor and Bone, fantastic barber. Maybe we'll have him on one of these days.
Yeah.
And he was like, have you watched Glow on Netflix? I'm like, about the girls wrestling? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch that at all. It was about women's wrestling. And he's like, I know, man, it's super weird, but it's actually like it's well written and it's like, it's really, really entertaining.
Should we do Glow next week?
I don't know if I'm ready to jump in. I still got to do Ozark season 2.
Oh, you haven't started watching it yet?
No.
Okay.
No, because I'm in Jack Ryan right now.
Right.
I've got Ozark season 2. So I just think it's cool to see these different avenues come out. It's almost weird how I'm almost becoming biased against movies because I'm used to stories taking 8 to 15 hours to tell.
Right.
And I'm like, I watch a movie sometimes and I'm like, wait, this is only going to take 2 hours?
Yeah.
How are they going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
You know, and it's it's weird. It's almost like it moves way too fast.
Yeah.
Because we're becoming like reconditioned.
It's the perfect format for a lot of, for books, really for bookend.
Oh, like, yeah.
I think what this is going to do is, I like the idea of original films being original films and maybe short books becoming original films, but novels, the future of adaptations of novels is always a mini series.
Yes.
As opposed to, which this isn't new. The Stand was, I think The Stand was the first really good one.
Right.
I could be wrong. Maybe there was one before that. Was it before The Stand?
Yeah. And that was a mini series.
Okay. It was only two parts though, right?
Right. It wasn't as long. Like The Stand was like a big, long, yeah, like 9-week television event.
Yeah. They did it 1 week. It was like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And The Stand was either 4 or 8, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Are you aware that the gas station that he pulls into was down the street from us?
No.
They filmed that in Provo. Like in the beginning when he rolls in and they're like, turn the pumps off. And he crashes into it.
Right.
That was a gas station that was just north of where the, like south of the cemetery, just by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's long gone now. But I remember seeing the whole like setup and everything.
Interesting.
They had the street shut down and yeah, it's pretty cool. They filmed quite a bit of that in Utah. Most of it was filmed in Utah actually. So anyway, but yeah, The Stand started it. That was, to your point, it, but I felt like The Stand was more of a series and it was well done, had some well-known actors in it.
Yeah.
Definitely not a full... wasn't fully true to the book, but it was Sunday night television, so it couldn't be. I mean, that and back then they had no, like, if you want an HBO or something, like that just wasn't a thing yet. No one could afford to do this type of stuff because you couldn't get it out to people.
I guess you could say too that The Stand came from, wasn't The Stand after Twin Peaks?
Oh yeah, it would have been, right? Because Twin Peaks was like late 80s, throughout
something
the
80s, like
right?
Yeah.
Stand was early 90s, I think.
So. Anyway.
Cool.
But yeah, it's kind of, I like where it's going, you know, like I like that about where entertainment's going and stuff. And this, like this Jack Ryan thing is just so cool because I just remember loving Jack Ryan movies back in the day.
Pop quiz.
Yes.
Can you name the actors that have portrayed Jack Ryan?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Do it.
Alec Baldwin.
Correct.
Harrison Ford.
Correct.
Chris Pine.
Correct. You're missing one. There's 5 films.
And oh, Ben Affleck.
Yes.
What's up with Ben Affleck? Always get like the crappiest reboot. Because like,
is it because
I can't stand him in Batman? Dude, the Affleck Batman. It's just it's like sad. Partly because all I can do now when I see his face on screen is think about his ghastly gothic back tattoo of the dragon that like takes up his whole back.
Oh yeah.
And how trashy it looks.
I know people with tattoos like that, that look amazing.
Andrei Kirilenko did it too.
It's like, he has the money to get the best, like to make that thing just, it looks like dull. I haven't really seen that good of it. Maybe the picture wasn't good,
but it's like full color too, which is super weird.
Dude, people do weird things, man.
Yeah.
People do weird things. Well, what I was going to say about Ben Affleck is that I don't know if that was that bad of a movie. It was a bad movie. That's the one where he survived the
Summit of All Fears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a helicopter somehow. I mean, that's early 2000s, dude. Like that's like right in that age where the CGI was, they're playing with it and anything was cool. And now it just doesn't sit well. It just looks terrible.
Right.
All that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, he's had some duds, dude. I mean, he was in Paycheck.
I actually weirdly liked Paycheck. I didn't mind it.
That's because it's a great story.
Yeah.
His Batman, quick on Batman though, sorry. In Batman versus Superman,
yes,
it wasn't as bad because I will say that I appreciate his dedication to the role. Like, he's a big reason a lot of that happened, is he was very committed to moving it forward. And what happened with Justice League, so they fired Zack Snyder, and then they said it was a family issue, but it came out later that he was fired. Joss Whedon, who's the Avengers director, came in and finished it, did a bunch of reshoots. They had a finished movie that was a Zack Snyder movie, which is not fun, happy times. And his dark version of Batman worked in Batman versus Superman. At minimum, it worked decently. I don't think it was terrible.
Right.
It was terrible in Justice League, though, because the costume and the whole thing didn't match this. All these reshoots that were bright and happy and trying to be joking all the time. They tried to put that Marvel.
It's also the biggest complaint against that movie, Artificial Intelligence. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Because was it Kubrick?
Yeah.
That started it. And then Spielberg came in right at the end and made it like a happy ending.
Yeah.
And Kubrick didn't want that. But you can tell, imagine. You can tell when you watch it though, like where Kubrick ended and Spielberg began.
Kubrick was like, guys, this time I wanted to have an entire building of blood, not just an elevator.
Yes.
Drop on the set at the end. And Spielberg obviously goes a different direction on those things.
All work and no play makes Stanley Kubrick a dull boy.
Dude, he would be an interesting guy to do a deep dive into.
Okay, what's your favorite of the Jack Ryans? Who was your favorite?
I can't answer that without jumping into another thing, which is talking about Jack Halpert or Jim Halpert playing John Krasinski, playing the character. I was not overly excited about the idea of him playing the character, which I kind of told you. Luckily, I decided to just jump in and watch it and pretty much immediately liked his take on it. And I don't know if this is true, but I read a rumor that his take on the character was based on viewing himself as a younger version of the Harrison Ford Jack Ryan, which I actually think works really good, especially when you go back and you think through some of the office scenes. They had a lot of
cubicles.
Paper. Yeah. A lot of cubicle scenes with him.
Yeah.
Of all of the, of all the Jack Ryans, they would look more similar, like, you know, height and build. And
right.
Harrison Ford doesn't have he's a rugged, handsome. He doesn't have that symmetrical face like Chris Pine. You know what I mean? Like, Chris Pine's the guy who's like, you look at his face and he would probably be considered the perfect prototypical human for a character like this. Just his face is perfect. His body's perfect. He's got the hair, the blue eyes.
But is it weird that I feel like part of the evolution that's happening in film is, I feel like we're steering away from that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we have enough. We have Tom Cruise. We have James Bond. You know, we have Mission Impossible. We have James Bond. They kind of fill that sphere. And I think one thing that the thing that we like most about Jack Ryan is the idea that Jack Ryan, like, he's kind of a book dork, you know?
But people don't get that. Almost, most people haven't read the books.
Yeah, like, almost.
The audience, the size of the audience and the age of the audience that needs to like these and get them does not match up with the people who read the books.
Right.
Does that make sense? But I agree, they're taking a shot at it. And I think it's working because I think people, to your point, they want that.
I mean, when I watched the pilot episode, there was a point when he's like convincing this girl that works for the Treasury Department to put a lock on this account. And he straight up talks like Jim Halpert. And then he gives like one of those like little looks, like Jim Halpert, like when he would look into the camera after Michael Scott said something stupid. And he does the same look to her, like once he convinces her to put a freeze on this account and manipulates her, basically. And I'm like, he's always going to be Jim Halpert, but thankfully, because of the Benghazi movie, we can at least suspend our reality a little bit and I can accept him as Jack Ryan.
You got to give him the benefit of the doubt in this scenario, in this way, I should say. You have to realize he had, what, 10 seasons, 9 seasons, something like that,
yeah,
on The Office?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just a bad actor who, the reason you keep viewing him as Jim Halpert is because he can't break out of that character. It's because that character covered 9 years. So an entire decade of his personal life, he aged in front of us. And then
how many episodes per season?
What, 20?
Yeah. So that means you've got 10 hours. So we've got 100 hours almost of him being Jim Halpert on TV.
So he's made every face.
Yeah, we've watched 100 hours of that, which is the equivalent of, I mean, think about that. That's like 50 Batman movies. Like, if Christian Bale made 50 Batman movies with Christopher Nolan, I would watch every single one of them 50 times each. But Christian Bale would only be that. He would never be the guy from Newsies.
Exactly. And it was his first thing. Yeah. We've seen every emotion, dude. Like, yeah. And the character itself changed quite a bit.
Right.
Had a huge evolution. So you've seen him goofy, serious. My point is, I think people should lay off the whole, I'm not saying you were accusing you of doing that, but I just think it's important to recognize that. Like, he's going to do that in everything he's in. It doesn't mean he can't break out of a character. It means he simply put his entire life into a character. I don't know.
You know, one thing too, it makes me think of too, is like, so now we're entering into this John Krasinski, like he's starting, like, I think he's got an upward trend now. Right. So he's going to start threatening guys like Chris Pratt. I think he could,
you know, he got offered Captain America, John Krasinski.
That's awesome. And that would be, that actually, I would really like that.
It's pretty bizarre to me that they offered that to him back then.
So they saw it.
Yeah. They saw that. They saw this all coming. That's pretty cool, actually.
But then at the same time, you look at Pam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she's like playing like the backup role to...
She has a sitcom now.
Oh, does she go... Well, I just remember she was like... She was in that... what's the raunchy comedy with Owen Wilson? She plays his wife. Where, Hall Pass. Like, I swear that's the last thing I remember seeing her in was Hall Pass.
Oh. She was in Hall Pass?
Exactly.
That movie was kind of offensive. And I only get offended by movies that are... offensive and also not very funny.
Yeah.
That's my rule. That's my rule about offensive stuff. It needs to be funny or it's offensive. This is where there's a legitimate problem. We've talked about
in
this.
Hollywood
is that Hollywood does not create legitimate ongoing leading roles for women. It's
as they advance in age.
Yes. It's like, yes. Yeah. Specifically as they advance in age. And it's a problem.
It's really sad.
And I don't buy into the idea that there's not a market for it. Not for a minute.
I don't either. I think we're getting past, and honestly, I think that like what's attractive is changing. You know what I mean? Like it used to be, every actress has got to look like Grace Kelly or, you know, be these icons. But like more and more, we're seeing like leading women that have flaws, you know?
Do you know what would be the hottest thing on the planet?
What's that?
A pregnant Helen Mirren. That's an Office quote. Sorry.
Or what's the episode in The Office where they're debating whether or not she's hot?
Oh, Hillary Swank.
Hillary Swank. Yeah,
exactly, dude.
Is she?
Well, they come to the perfect conclusion, I think, is the point that maybe not by some standards, but to say that she's not an attractive person who's a good actor is just silly. It's a silly debate,
right?
Which is, I think, the kind of the conclusion.
Well, I love the rise, though, too, of Amy Schumer. I mean, first off, Amy Schumer is hilarious, you know?
Okay. You're not an Amy Schumer fan? No comment.
I think she's pretty funny.
There's a side. It's the way she treats her. I think she's highly hypocritical in a lot of ways.
Okay.
That's another day. But
I was just going to say that it's cool that like Hollywood will greenlight a couple of movies where she's the leading lady and she does not look like your typical leading lady.
That's one of the things that bugs me about her is that she like jokes all the time about being a big girl.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge part of her like
her shtick.
And then she got all bent out of shape when Vanity Fair or something put her on the cover.
And then Princess Leia outfit.
When they were talking about big girls, whatever, like embracing that, you know what I mean? And it's like, dude, pick one, you know? And also, why are you embarrassed to be described that way if you're supposedly
in great a joke. With it?
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think I don't think she is who, maybe she's finding herself. She's young.
I think what you're trying to say is she's like Marilyn Manson. What I mean by that is Marilyn Manson's a shock jock, right?
Yeah.
But behind the scenes, people that talk to him is like, he's not really that at all.
Oh,
he's a normal dude. And he's just like, this is the best way that I'm going to be to make money.
But he was always honest about that. She's not. That's, I guess, I would almost say
behind closed doors, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm saying her persona seems to be at direct odds with like the things she likes to joke about and get mad about. And his was at odds, but he was very clear, like, well, yeah, this is an act. She's not. She's like, I don't know. Yeah, like I said, we could go off on
Jack Ryan, though.
So Jack Ryan, my bad.
So anyway, like I was saying, Marilyn Manson and Jack Ryan.
Yes. Wait, is that part of the next, is John Krasinski going to play Marilyn Manson in
a biopic?
He could do it.
When's that Queen movie coming out? I'm excited about that one.
I read some interesting stuff about that.
Okay.
That's another one. Okay. So how many episodes have you watched so far of Jack Ryan?
So far I've watched four.
And?
I like it all. I love how it's not in your face. It's not like in your face liberal agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I do feel like there's a subtle push to humanize. I don't even want to say this. You know where I'm going?
Can I try to say what you're saying? I think I can. And you tell me if I am saying what you're trying to say.
I don't even.
Well, so someone pointed out the other day that Bill Maher is now officially the most centrist view in all of talk shows.
Okay.
Think about that.
Right.
It's crazy and it's true. Because he's the only one sticking to actual principles and saying like, well, yeah, I get that my side is lining up with this agenda, but I'm not going along with it because it's against my principles, right?
Right.
He is highly anti-religion, right? He hates religion. So he's like, I don't care if my side is lining up with this specific religion. I'm not, because I'm against religion. He's sticking to his guns and he's pointing out all the problems that come along with religion are happening in the religions that right now we seem to support, and we're against religions that don't have those problems right now, had those problems in the past for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the point is what am I trying to say? What you're trying to say is we live in a world where there's a couple of realities. There are people who, for whatever reason, maybe they don't even know why they hate the US. They don't understand the broader picture. Another reason is we've made mistakes, hate America because of some of our tactics, you know, bombing places.
Yeah.
With no idea who's in the building, whatever. Like, you can go off about this stuff and nitpick on all of it. And it really is tough to decide what's best, but at the end of the day, there's casualties and they're going to pop up. So it humanizes the fact that the main character, you find out, you know, for me, at least as I'm watching the opening scene, this doesn't give anything away to anyone who wants to watch this. You know who he's going to become very quickly in the show. And you pretty much know as you're watching it. You're like, okay, I'm watching the characters that are going to become the terrorists. So I feel like it does two things. It humanizes them and it helps us recognize the fact of why some of these things exist. But then it is also unapologetic about pointing out that it's still not acceptable. You know what I mean? Neither side is acceptable.
Correct.
Like, that's the point. Correct. It's like, look, two wrongs don't equal a right. I hope people watching it then don't just do the whole, well, that gives us the excuse to stop these people using any. Yeah, let's go there, but let's also recognize, but we should probably be questioning how we do things in the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just important to think about.
I think it's challenging it challenges our stereotypes of Islam.
Yeah.
In that we stereotype terrorism and we connect terrorism to Islam,
right.
You know? And so there are the radicals that shows how the radical guy was, you know, created inadvertently by a bombing, right? Mm-hmm. Where his family got killed and stuff. But then at the same time too, it makes sure to show that, what's his name? Jack Ryan's boss is a Muslim, you know? And there's this really cool scene when they're following this terrorist in the Alps, and it's this French policeman and his boss, played by Bunk from The Wire, who I love. You got to watch The Wire. He's just listening to this French guy just go off about Islam and how terrible they are. And they're a scourge in France and, you know, and they cause all this violence and da, 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 da. And he just quietly pulls out these beads. Do you remember the part? Yeah. And the French guy's like, what are those? Are those like rosary beads? Like, assuming that he's Catholic. And he's like, no, it's part of my religion, and lets him know that he's a Muslim, you know? And the guy's like, oh.
People were, I have read that people were pretty upset about that. I think mostly French people, because it stereotypes them that way.
Sure. But I think I didn't think it meant to at all, but I think it just starts the conversation. Like, it's refreshing to me because it made me look at myself and see, do I have any of those biases?
Right.
You know?
Well, see, me and you can have these talks, and the bottom line is,
I don't want to have those biases.
We're both willing to look at things from both sides and say, oh yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? But ultimately, I'm going to follow a principle. I'm not going to follow we're on this side. Nah, I happen to be against the principles on that side, but this is my team. I just can't do that. So, and I don't feel like this show makes you like,
no,
I'm sure some people will feel that way, and I'd be interested in hearing their viewpoint,
but it's smart and it's subtle in the way that it's doing it. You know, it's not like in your face, I need to make a statement like, you know, like Oliver Stone Platoon, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to show you that
it's pretty fun.
Why the Vietnam War is terrible and why, you know, everyone sucks and the world sucks. This is more just subtle, like, hey, like go down this path with us. Let's look at both sides. And then you got Jack Ryan, who's just going to help navigate us through to the promised land.
Well, and they're definitely setting him up. They make a lot of comments, like the Boy Scout comments about him being so honest.
Right.
That's a cool scene when his old boss or whatever is trying to get insider
trading info from him.
And he won't give it up. And he calls him a Boy Scout, whatever.
Right.
And they definitely play that up. That's going to be a part of his character, which I think is cool because in the books, eventually Jack Ryan becomes vice president and then through a bombing or something gets catapulted into the presidency. I don't think they've put that into any films yet, have they? That's never happened in the films. Yeah. So that would be cool if they went there,
down the
road. But my hope is that they do it in such a way where he continues to play off the Harrison Ford character a bit. And then eventually I'd love to see him get to that point where they get into that presidency idea. And we get back to having someone who has some ideals, who understands that some of these basic rules, like, you know, he's taking an oath not to share information. You know, that's part of his job.
Right.
And he's taking it seriously. Based on how things have been the last 10 years or so, I'd say that is needed. So
we're not getting political, though.
Well, you kind of can't not in stuff like that. I'm just saying it's a small thing, but it's not overt. And it's not against either side. That's the point. You know what I'm saying? This is just people saying, here's problems that are real. Here's some solutions to them. Let's watch these guys blow stuff up and fix it and then make some mistakes and we can think about it. And it's not in your face against either side.
I'm really optimistic though. I'm only 4 episodes in. And like right now I don't feel like it's better than Homeland, but like I could see it becoming better than Homeland.
It's fun.
Cause Homeland was genius in that way too. Did you watch Homeland at all?
I have watched some Homeland.
Oh man.
But I'm not.
Okay. So Homeland is amazing. First off. Homeland does the same thing where it tries to show like kind of both sides and where the gray area where US intelligence has to operate sometimes and like for the greater good, you know, and things like that. And anyway, it's just really smart, but it does give you empathy for the other side as well. And anyway, which is, I feel like what this is doing too.
Well, I will check that out.
Yeah.
Do you want to be friends with anyone on that show, Jack Ryan?
To hang out with, who would I like to hang out with? I wouldn't want to hang out with his girlfriend. I don't think she's very good. I think she was miscast. I'd hang out with Bunk, his boss, just because I think mostly because I like The Wire, not even because I like what he is right now.
Dude, he's got an interesting,
I feel like he got his job just because Morgan Freeman was like a little too old. And there's like that weird stuff that he has come out about him.
I was surprised. Like he was in like Money Pit, I think. Big Business. Like he was in a bunch of 80s movies. He's in a lot more movies. He's kind of like that guy. I mean, I knew I recognized him.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, what exactly from? And that's why I couldn't pinpoint it easily is because he's just randomly in a lot of stuff. A lot of TV, obviously.
Right.
What was the one you were just saying he just came from? The Wire?
The Wire?
Yeah.
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 I mean, and that was like 6 seasons too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So he's in that a long time.
Nice. Here's your options. I want to live it. I want to watch it. Oh, no. I want to live it. I want to watch it live, or I just want to watch it.
The Jack Ryan.
And you got to get deep with those questions. I want to watch it live means this is a movie that makes me want to be like, it makes me want to go into something like this. Do you get a feeling like I want to be part of this? I'm going to ask this question for other films.
Yeah. Later. I think right now where I stand, and maybe because I'm not too far in, I just want to watch it. I'm kind of happy in my little bubble where like this stuff is really far away from me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. There's no part of this that makes me want to be part of it.
Yeah. But I like to think that there's guys like Jack Ryan out there.
Yeah.
They're out doing the right thing for the right reason.
There's lots of movies where you get up and you're done and you're like, part of you wants to shift your life a little bit.
Yeah.
To be more like what you just saw.
I'll tell you what though, in the Jack Ryan series, regarding that question, watching it live, I do remember Patriot Games had like a big impact on me like that. When they go into the room, like in the Situation Room, and they're watching in real time, because like all this technology blew my mind back then. Do you remember the scene where I'm talking about where they invite Jack Ryan into the Situation Room while they watch in real time while the Navy SEAL team goes and kills all the guys in the camp.
Yeah.
And they have that the thermal imaging stuff, you know? Yeah. And because they had a satellite over the top, and he's just like, I'm watching these people get murdered because I ordered it.
Crazy.
You know? And I remember like thinking that, like, holy cow, man, like that'd be kind of cool to like be involved with that.
How old were you then?
I don't know, like 13.
Yeah. So no kids. Yeah. No. Yeah. Cause when you get older, you're like, it's not like cool anymore.
Yeah.
It's intriguing.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah. You don't want to be part of it, weirdly. Okay. So how do you feel about my John Krasinski's version being the younger Harrison Ford?
I love it.
Can you see that?
That's way better. I can see that way better than the dude that played Han Solo.
Yeah.
In the movie Solo being...
I still haven't seen Solo, dude.
Oh, you haven't?
I mean, I've seen enough of the previews to know that it's not a dead-on impersonation by any stretch.
Yeah, it's pretty weak sauce.
Yeah. Everybody... Well, weirdly, the reviews picked up quite a bit. A lot more positive reviews.
I think we just hold the Star Wars canon to such a higher standard in general. Yeah. And Han Solo is such a revered character that I think it's really hard. It's hard for you to go from Harrison Ford and Harrison Ford when he was young. Cause I mean, dude, he was like, what, 27, 26 when he was Han Solo in the first Star Wars to, you know, some guy that looks like he's 25 or 26. He's not Harrison Ford.
Right.
You know,
was it when Lando started busting out This Is America? Is that what you didn't like about it, or is that one of the parts you did?
Don't you rip on Childish Gambino. Whoa. You know that I'm a Childish Gambino fan.
Don't accuse me of ripping on him. I just asked you if it bothered you.
Donald Glover is amazing in every aspect.
What did he...
Atlanta?
Community was what he got to start on.
Atlanta is incredible.
Was Community his first? Remember he
played that was his big break, yeah.
That was it?
Yeah. He tried out for Saturday Night Live. And didn't get
did?
It. Yeah.
Huh. Well,
What's your favorite Jack Ryan movie?
Probably The Hunt for Red October, but I wouldn't say Alec Baldwin is necessarily my... Like, I feel like Harrison Ford could have also done that. Baldwin was great in it, though. He played a great version of the character, because Jack Ryan was like... I might be getting this wrong. My older brother can correct me if he hears this and I got this wrong, but I'm pretty sure it went something like Marines, then he was like an accountant on Wall Street or something, then he was a professor, and then he... got involved with the CIA and sort of doing all this stuff. As far as like a professor, desk guy, how skinny Baldwin was back then. And he like approaches the role in a pretty good way where I don't remember him being much of an action hero in that, right? I mean, there's a few little things.
Yeah, he's like, a few little things, yeah.
But he's kind of going along with it. He's not. Yeah. Yeah. So he was good, but.
You know what I always loved about Alec Baldwin is that Alec Baldwin, because there was a revolution in male grooming where if you're like a hot Hollywood guy actor, you had to have like a scene with your shirt off and you were always in really, really good shape and no body hair. Alec Baldwin was like, screw that. Alec Baldwin and Alec Baldwin was like, I got it.
I had no idea where you were going. So when I, but once you got to,
it makes sense.
I started picturing Alec Baldwin and I was like,
dude, in all of his movies, when he has his shirt off, he's not shorn.
Oh, no.
In any way, shape, or form, dude. He's like, this is who I am, and you got to deal with it.
That's funny. Okay, let me ask you this. Last question.
I didn't love Alec Baldwin's Jack Ryan, by the way.
You didn't love it? Well, yeah, like I'm saying, I like
the
movie.
It's almost like, yeah, I mean, Alec Baldwin as an actor, especially in his younger days, like I feel like he was almost typecast as a know-it-all and almost kind of smug. You know, like in Malice when he's the doctor, you know, he's like, do you have a God complex? Yeah. I don't have a God complex. I am God. I decide who lives and dies. Do you remember that? Anyway, yeah. I feel like that kind of stuck with him more. And when I watch Hunt for Red October, there are moments when I'm just like, where he still, even though he's trying to play like the young up and comer, he still thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
That might be who he is though.
Exactly.
I think that's who he is. I mean,
whereas Harrison Ford has like a vulnerability to him where he kind of gets that look where he like furrows his brow. Like, he's like that look like I'm in over my head and I don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know. He's a lot more vulnerable.
He's at least good at acting like he's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. We're going to end on talking about this. I saw an interview with John Krasinski where he described Jack Ryan as America's James Bond.
Okay.
What do you think about that comment? I disagree with it.
I disagree.
Okay. Who is America's James Bond then?
Ethan Hunt.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That was not pre-planned. I am so glad you immediately answered, because that's not that hard for me to think about. Unless both of us are just way off and there's someone we're not thinking of, who else would be America's James Bond? Ethan Hunt, dude.
Yeah.
That's insane to me to...
20 years ago, John McClane.
Yeah, but even then, John McClane was never... He was a cop. He was never...
Elite.
Yeah. Like, once he started getting involved in the bigger stuff, it got ridiculous.
Yeah.
But dude, this last...
And John McClane was never like suave either. Like, John McClane was always like, I'm going to wear a wife beater with blood all over it.
Yeah.
And I always have a cigarette like hanging out of my mouth. And I look like I smell like total BO all the time. So, okay, I take back the John McClane. Ethan Hunt.
It's okay. Yeah, it's got to be Ethan Hunt. Is there anyone else you could even...
No.
Who else? I mean, Jack Reacher only had two films. Is there any other series even remotely similar that... I'm sorry. So when I heard that, I was like, maybe they're just hyping it up, trying to go for that. Because it's had the different... I guess what they do have on Ethan Hunt is Ethan Hunt has been played in film by one character.
Right.
By one actor. And, you know, TV the other. But they've got the whole... Four different Jack Ryans. So if you want to compare it in that way, have you heard the 10-year rumor of Idris Elba playing James Bond? What do you think about that?
I think it'd be cool, but I think Idris Elba almost is a little too, he's getting a little too old.
It's got to happen soon. I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
But it's got to happen soon if it's going to happen.
And the problem is I think he could only commit to like, I mean, he could probably do like two movies and then he'd be too old. You know what I mean? It'd be like Michael Jordan on the Wizards, you know, like he had like 1 year where it was like, okay. And then the next year you were like, oh gosh, man, you got to retire, bud.
I mean, James Bond needs to be about 40 or look that age, right?
Correct.
And yeah, he's definitely looking a little older, but I don't have a problem with him doing it. And then Daniel Craig coming back. I think anyone who follows these movies gets the idea that it's different actors. It's an ongoing character that gets reset constantly.
Right.
So to me, it's like, I don't know the politics in Hollywood, but I don't see any reason why you couldn't just do a movie with him as Bond and then still do a Daniel Craig one.
Who else would you have liked to have seen in the past be Jack Ryan? Whether actor.
Who from the past? That's a good question. I don't know. You have anybody?
I was thinking in my head, like the time when those were coming out and I was like, okay, who could have done it back then? And whenever I think of young Alec Baldwin, I automatically think of Charlie Sheen because they were kind of like in the same class.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what about Emilio Estevez? And I'm glad I just started laughing.
Emilio Estevez. Oh, that's bad. So I think Jim Caviezel could do just about anything. And I hate that he doesn't.
I know. How did he get so irrelevant?
He could have. So he could have played him.
I guess once you play Jesus, like it all goes downhill.
Yeah, that really screwed him, man.
Yeah.
I mean, probably not financially, but
yeah.
I hope not at least, but. God, he's just a great freaking actor.
Yeah.
So good. I would say, yeah, Jim Caviezel is my only, because I'm trying to think of like good actors who also have some mainstream appeal. Because I don't, not when I think of mainstream.
You know who I'd like to see play this like right now is, and this is super weird, is that dude from This Is Us. He's kind of like he's the really famous like actor movie star guy in This Is Us. I don't know his name.
Milo?
No, that's the dad.
Okay.
It's the other dude.
Oh, the
it's like
young
one of the
guy?
Triplets. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like an up and comer.
Yeah. Why hasn't he been in it? Has he been in anything since that show?
No, like he hasn't even, I don't think he's crossed over into movies or anything like that, you know?
He could be good.
Something like that.
Yeah. He's a little too blonde for, I guess Jack Ryan could be blonde.
Chris Pratt couldn't do it. He's too funny.
Yeah.
He's too charismatic.
Yeah. Oh, so we're talking now? Or are you?
Yeah. I'm like whenever, dude.
Dude, honestly, I think John Krasinski, I think he's a great.
I'm on board.
Yeah. He's a great pick. So we wouldn't, because we're doing replacements every movie. And that's one of the things we got to talk about then is, would we have replaced him? Who could have done a better job? Or do we just stick with him? And I don't know. I feel like, I don't know who I'd pick.
You know what, too, for the other American James Bond that we didn't mention?
Who? Did we miss a big one?
Yeah.
Am I going to feel stupid?
Jason Bourne.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jason Bourne's American James Bond. But he doesn't have the gizmos.
Well, and he had, there was a beginning to the story and an end. That's why I would say he's not. His story is just totally different. You know what I mean? Like there was the intrigue around he was part of a project.
Okay.
It should have been brought up though. You're right. It should have been considered.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, now we check that box.
Okay. But Ethan Hunt fits.
Ethan Hunt fits more.
Because you could make a new movie. You could do a new series and someone can play that character and just roll with it. And it's great. So
yeah.
Okay. So we're not replacing John Krasinski. We're not even trying.
No way.
Okay.
So your favorite was Hunt for Red October.
Yes.
My favorite, obviously, was Patriot Games.
Nice. That was my favorite Jack Ryan, to be clear.
Okay. Jack Ryan movie.
He was my favorite portrayal. I liked Harrison Ford better as Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
But
favorite Jack Ryan movie was Hunt for Red October.
Favorite movie was, I still liked Hunt for Red October better than Patriot Games. Or what, Clear and Present Danger was the other one.
Clear and Present Danger was kind of like, meh.
Did that have John Malkovich in it?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I don't even remember the storyline very good. I just remember it was in Central America. But I probably need to rewatch it. Yeah, Patriot Games is awesome, man. If you go rewatch Patriot Games, incredible, incredible stuff. It's even got it's got Richard Harris in it, the old Irish guy, the NRA.
Oh.
Yeah. He's really good. Got the guy in it from, what's the villain in National Treasure? He's like the main villain in it.
Ed Harris?
Sean
Bean?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Sean Bean's the,
yes.
He's Patriot Games, right?
Yeah,
he's the assassin.
He killed my baby brother.
Yeah, you know, I love Sean. Love me some Sean Bean.
And that whole scene, start to finish, dude, that movie's amazing. The scene, the first, when the assassination attempt happens and everything, and you know, underrated, dude, front to back. Plus, fantastic 90s actress plays his wife, Ann Archer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Ann Archer.
She's a great pick.
Yeah, I liked her more than Bonnie Bedelia.
Please don't ever not say her name in one of these.
Dude, good for Bonnie Bedelia, you know, though, like holding strong to her name and like not changing it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because like her agent was probably like, dude, your name is Bonnie Bedelia. Like if you want any job in Hollywood, we got to change it to like Helen Hunt or something. Something simple.
Wait, was Willem Dafoe the bad guy in Clear and Present Danger?
That sounds right.
Okay. It wasn't John Malkovich. I don't know what I'm thinking of, but what can you do? Well, my quick wrap up on it is anyone considering watching this, you're going to be in it about 8 hours. It's 8 episodes, all of them between 45 minutes and an hour. It's not overly gratuitous, either violence, nudity, or swearing, but it is also not a kid's film. This is not a...
Absolutely not.
This is not a PG-13 show even. Unfortunately, and I suppose you could view this as unfortunate, we've set the bar so low. With some of the stuff that's been out, Game of Thrones has set the bar so low that it's easy to beat that bar as far as gratuitous everything.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, what you're saying.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying set the bar low as like quality of content.
No. It's over.
And you know that I'm not a Thrones guy.
Well, it's hard, especially because the first episodes are, there's just stuff where you're like, why am I watching this? You know what I mean? But anyway, we can talk about that later. But point is, this is watchable, but just fair warning to anyone who doesn't like watching, you know, stuff with somewhat gratuitous everything. This is a little bit of everything. Most of it, though, what I like about it is...
It's heavier than a PG-13, but it's lighter than an R.
I don't know if I'd say... I mean, it's R.
It's R.
Yeah. But I don't even like the ratings. The rating system doesn't match any longer. And this is not rated. That's the thing. So you kind of... I like HBO's version of rating. Before, it's like V for violence, S for sexual content, N for... like, and then they expound on those. So you actually know what's in the film. That's the perfect rating system. That's how movies should be.
So then you know when to fast forward it to that part.
Yes. I like when someone clips all those parts together, and puts it on YouTube for me. No. Back to my rule of thumb, if I can handle this stuff or not, is it needed and does it bring, or is it at least like realistic within the show? And all of this really is. You could argue that certain aspects could be taken out. I think nudity is rarely ever needed, but as far as the violence and stuff,
it's some
of the coolest parts.
Yeah.
And so for a non like big budget picture, some of the big scenes are cool.
Yeah.
Like
the set pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. So anyway, that's just fair warning for anybody watching it. It's got a few problems. There's one scene where, without giving anything away, someone is getting away. And this is just my take on it. And they want you to know that Jack Ryan is now committed to this fight. Do you know the scene I'm talking about? Did I ruin that? This beforehand.
Oh, you're good.
But was I right?
Yeah.
And he kind of like, he literally like stares after the bad guy as he's driving away. And then he like squares his shoulders up and does this like clenched jaw. I don't like stuff like that because I always feel like it's the director telling me you're really dumb and we're not quite sure you're going to get that that's our
villain.
Yeah. That's the villain.
And this is the hero.
He's committed. And it's like, no, you guys did a good job. especially when they did do a good job in the previous few hours setting that up to where I would have got that just with a non-weird heroic pose, you know? Stuff like that, you know, always kind of bothers
me. The other thing that bothered me about it too, I know we're wrapping up, the side story about the drone pilot in Vegas.
That was weird. That was
super weird. And did you realize that the husband in that, do you know who he is?
No.
He's the older brother in the movie Weird Science.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
I'm serious, dude.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And like that whole deal, like with how that went down in like the dude's apartment and stuff. I'm like, are you?
Well, have you seen that side story wrap up though?
I haven't. Okay. So I'm only, okay. So I know that
it pays itself off.
Well, I mean, I know that he was involved later on and made a decision, you know, that earned him another dollar.
Okay.
Without giving anything away.
Yeah.
Like I saw that part, but does it go on further than that? Does he go back to the casino?
No, but I feel like, I do feel like it's a thinking, like, okay, so for anyone watching the show, if you go into this and you're like, I'm a Republican, or I'm like super cool, I'm from California, and you know, I want just peace and love. Like, if you go in with that mindset, you're going to hate this show because it's going to piss you off. And you know what I mean? Yeah. If you're taking sides, you got to go into this and everything you see, I think this is every movie. You just got to question it and say, is that a real portrayal of how these things go down? If you have no idea, then don't assume it is necessarily, but say, well, what were they trying to get me to think about? I don't watch movies just for pure entertainment. I never do. I never have. I want to think about the things that I'm seeing.
I want it to help me. Yeah. Yeah. I want it to help me think and analyze real life.
Yeah. Every now and again, like Justice League is one of those movies. I cannot with a straight face say that's a good movie because it is not. It is far from it.
The Good Dinosaur, there's nothing to it, man. That is air and ridiculous.
I'm going to have to follow back up on that. But I get your point. If that's how you view it, it's just eye candy, right? They just like put stuff up for kids to like.
I want something that's going to move me, dude.
Yeah. And sometimes, like when I do want something that's not going to, I want it to be
like Mission Impossible.
Batman and Superman blowing stuff up. And it's like, okay,
Mission Impossible, this is terrible, Fallout, but I can watch it. The best example of that.
But you know what? I feel like all the Mission Impossibles have.
Excluding number two. Number two is really bad.
Oh, that was
the John Woo one is really bad.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. It's, you got to view it a certain way, but it's not great. But I love his commitment to the character. For all of Tom Cruise's many, many flaws, I respect his commitment to his characters. So anyway.
So nervous about Top Gun 2.
Yeah, that, I just don't know why that's happening.
Because there's money to be made. Might as well make it.
You think that's why?
I don't know, man, but it's, yeah.
Because you really think the name carries that big of a, I just feel like there's a lot of room to make mistakes. And I don't feel like Top Gun is,
if I was alone on a
really
desert
island, high school kids to the box office.
I don't know, but if I was alone on a desert island with a TV and they said you can only take one movie with you, mine would be Top Gun.
Yours would be Top Gun. For real?
Yep.
One movie.
One movie.
Wow.
I can quote that entire movie start to finish.
All right. Well, there you go. One movie, Top Gun. Mine would be Rocky. You know that.
Yeah, I know that.
And by the way, as I say that, you know what I say about Rocky. Anyone who views it as a sports movie has never watched it. It's a story
and
of
we
life
could debate
and
that
romance.
Another time when I'm like, Rocky 2 is better than Rocky 1.
You don't believe that.
I do.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, you don't.
Rocky 4 is like maybe the...
I'm going to be that guy that's like, no, you're not... Those aren't your actual thoughts. Here's... Instead of calling you stupid, what I'll do is I'll just say, I don't have to call you stupid because you don't actually believe that.
You're such a left-wing elitist. Well, hey, man, you know what? I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having this conversation with me.
That was fun.
And why are we here?
Because you made a phone call. But here's the deal. We can't end it that way this week because I just got to point out to everybody that we'll be here next week. And we're going to do full movie reviews. We've already got a couple recorded. And then we're going to do these weekly get-togethers where we just do a quick talk about... These are the full movie reviews will be less random. So if you're the guy listening to this who was like, I want something a little more structured, don't worry. We've already recorded those. And when we do full movie reviews, we will stick to that. Our weekly chats where we bring up a TV show are going to be a lot more off the cuff. We may be looking up, as we were today, information as we go. So plan accordingly. If you like one and don't like the other, we'll make sure to mark them that way. We'll be back next week. We're recording this at the Stone Sheba. by the way. So for everybody,
give them a follow.
Yeah, please follow us on the Stone Sheba. We will also have a Blockbusters page up very soon. But if you're listening to this, it means that it has been released. And whatever you're listening to it on, iTunes, the new Google Podcast app, Stitcher, wherever it is, they do have a like button or a thumbs up. And if you would hit that and subscribe, we would appreciate it. It'll help us keep doing this. So
we'll send you an autographed movie poster of Amazing Grace and Chuck for every like that we get.
Let's see how much an original would cost. An original Rocky poster is like, you know, 500, 600 bucks.
They probably pay you to take the Amazing Grace and Chuck.
When a movie's that bad, picture that stuff sometimes is valuable. And it's a cool cover too. We'll have to look into this. We'll follow up on it with everybody. Okay. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
See ya.